Blue Wire.
Welcome to episode 39 of the Snapback Sports Pod. On this episode, we're discussing the NFL. It's at its halfway point, and we're headed for the second half of the season, as well as NBA first week overreactions and much more. So let's get it.
And down goes Frazier.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Gives it to Jenkins.
What up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Sandlin from Snapback Sports on Snapchat and the Snapback Sports Pod. Joining me today, and as always, is Abe Granoff. Abe, what's going on?
Yo, what's up, Jack?
Nothing much. We are surpassing the halfway. Well, there's 17 weeks, so we're through week 8. We'll call it halfway point because a lot of teams will now have completed.
I guess we were technically at halfway, like after the 1 o'clock games.
No, it'd be like next
halfway
week
through the 1 o'clock games today.
It would be next week.
Oh, this is week what?
This is week eight. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we'll do a halfway through the 1 o'clock games next week.
No, we're gonna
our official half.
We're gonna do it now. And we're going to do our
jumping the gun this year.
We're updating our playoff predictions, MVP, Super Bowl matchup. A lot has changed since our preseason predictions, of course. Some good, like I said the Packers would win the division and be very good. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. Some bad, I said the Falcons would win the NFC South. I'll admit my mistakes when I have them. And I won't call out any of Abe's, but... Let's update what we have. Do you want to start with what you're looking at for a Super Bowl matchup now that we're heading into the second half of the season?
Yeah, I mean, out of the AFC, it's clear it's New England and then above everybody else. I mean, if Mahomes comes back fully healthy, it all comes down to one game. But New England's essentially locked up home field throughout the playoffs. So they're going to have to win one game at home and then the AFC championship game. So New England's still my pick to come out of the AFC. I don't see anybody but the Chiefs challenging them. I mean, we've discussed this. The NFL this year has been atrocious. Like, there are so many teams that you say, I don't know, they haven't really beaten anybody, but because there's so many teams that stink. So, like, yeah, these teams are beating 5 and 6 awful teams. But Pats have been the best team throughout. Their defense is up there for the MVP award. If you can count that. NFC is interesting because I think we can both agree that it's one big who knows what the hell is going to happen, right? I mean, you look to the NFC East, it's us and the Cowboys. And Eagles did have a good win today, don't get me wrong, but I'm not jumping on their bandwagon yet. They need to prove to me. I've told you time and time again, but maybe one more win and I'll be back. But I still think we win that division because of our schedule towards the end. The NFC North, which we'll talk about later, that's crazy. The Lions kind of got screwed in what happened in the one game.
It was the Packers game.
Yeah, the refs at the Packers game got screwed. Packers are still going to come out. Still the Vikings, still get a wild card spot. Saints, second best team in the NFC, or first best team in the NFC. I'm sorry. Second best team in the league is what I should have said. And then you got the Niners and the Seahawks battling in the West. It's crazy to think that the Niners, Seahawks, and Rams, one of them isn't going to make the playoffs probably just because someone out of the North will come. But so I'm staying with the Patriots, and if I can't pick the Eagles because I don't believe they're the best team right now, I'm going to go Saints. So I got okay. Pat Saints and then one game. Who knows?
Fair enough. I'm going to go with the Saints out of the NFC. Although I think it is interesting because Breeze has historically struggled to get the job done in the playoffs. He has his Super Bowl, of course, similar to Rodgers, but he only has that one. He hasn't really been back. Last year, obviously not really his fault with the missed call. Thank you, Saints fans, for getting us the worst rule change in NFL history, wasting everyone's time.
It's going to come back. It's going to come back and bite them. Don't worry.
If a coach is still challenging pass interferences, the coaches should be removed from the team, right? Like, you're not going to win.
Vic Fangio won one today for Denver.
I mean, he it's did. It's just brutal. But I think the Saints are the best team in the NFC. I'm not going to say by a wide margin. I will say with they're the most complete team by far, because I still have questions of the passing game for the Niners. They have the rushing game. Their defense is unreal. The coaching's been great. But when it's Garoppolo time 2 minutes to go, I'd rather have Drew Brees slinging to Michael Thomas than Jimmy G throwing to Emmanuel Sanders or whoever it's going to be. So I have the Saints, I had the Packers, and it would have made sense for me to stick with the Packers, right? They're 6-1.
You were off the Packers earlier this season.
Yeah, I was.
You picked them, like I think we did the preview maybe a little too early, and then the season started, and within 2 weeks you were off the Packers bandwagon.
Correct. I think that I just don't think they keep doing this. They keep jumping out to early leads, and we're recording the middle Sunday Night Football at halftime right now. They're up 14-0. It's 17-14 Chiefs. They were up on the Eagles early. They didn't put them away. The Eagles win the game. The only game they've put away this season was the Cowboys, and putting away the Cowboys is, you know,
And the Raiders last week, they blew out.
Yeah, but they put them away, but they were hanging around, and if it wasn't for Derek Carr.
It's still the Raiders, so.
Yeah, exactly. So you're right. I mean, if they beat the Chiefs tonight, when people are listening to this and they're 7-1, it would probably sound silly for me to be off my preseason pick. But I want to go with the Saints. They just look too complete on both sides of the ball. And then the AFC. Man, let me tell you.
Take it easy.
So we obviously will save it for Thursday because big game, Sunday Night Football, Ravens, Patriots. And there's a few things to point out. One, I don't care who the Patriots defense is playing anymore. They are dominant and they're the best defense in the league. We can agree on that. It doesn't matter if they've played no one, right? They're still forcing turnovers. They're still dynamic. They're still really, really good at defense. Like, as much as Baker turns the ball over, he's still a good quarterback and he could get nothing on the Pats today. So their defense is legit. With that being said, the Patriots have the fourth most punts in the league. Tom Brady has looked very, very, very average. He'll throw a dime here and there, but overall has looked not that special. Running game's been decent. They still have the best coach in the league, which is the X factor. And to get the number one seed, they'll have to go 13-3, if that, and they're already 8-0. So going 5-3 for them, pretty simple. But I think the next three games are going to be very telling, at least the next two. At Baltimore, at Philly, two teams who have given them problems in the past. So we'll see how I feel about it. With that being said, I'm sticking with the Chiefs. I think with Mahomes, and I just think he can get the job done. If there's anyone to beat that defense, it's Mahomes. And defensively, for the Chiefs, you know I'm not a big fan of them. But what they can do is they can force turnovers and they can get pressure. That's the key. They can get pressure at Brady's feet, and that's been known to give him problems. So I'm sticking with the Chiefs.
But I understand they force turnovers, but like Brady doesn't turn the ball over in that aspect.
That he's a different quarterback, though. He really is. He has become more of a high-level game manager with the ability to turn on the greatness at the end of the game. But he's not going to gas you for 400 because the Chiefs don't have a good secondary.
Yeah.
You know, like his peak right now is probably 330, maybe 350 if he's absolutely going crazy on a bad team. But against any team that has a pulse, I just think he's been exposed. And you can't underrate, like, Josh Gordon's done. And Sanu, I think he helps, but, you know, he's not Josh Gordon's level. They don't have the weapons. Gronk's not coming back.
We're trade deadline, what, on Tuesday afternoon? You know the Patriots are going to make some noise. They always do.
But they're not going to bring – they'll never, like, make the deal for, like, a Jalen Ramsey caliber player. They'll definitely make a move for some random guy who's going to win them a game in the playoffs, but they won't make that move that will put them over the top and be like, okay, this solves their last issue, because they don't really have a ton of issues except their kicker. Like, there's some things that aren't Patriot-esque like they have been in the past. Like, they're missing kicks. I know Gostkowski's out. But, like, there's vulnerabilities, and I'm going to keep going back to it. They really have not played anyone. Ravens off a bye at home. The Browns ran all over them today.
Nick Chubb. You're getting ahead of yourself. I know you're excited.
I'm just saying. Let's look at the Carfax. Show me the Carfax.
That's a free ad right there.
I'm going Chiefs versus Saints. Other playoff teams. right now. Just pick the two wild cards in each conference. You kind of hinted at it. It's either going to be
one from the North and one from the West, I think.
Okay. And this is where I don't know if it's going to be an argument or not, but I'm telling you that the Rams are going to make the playoffs and the Seahawks are not.
Yeah. I mean, the Rams have a very easy schedule coming up, whereas Seattle really doesn't. I'm starting to think that the Vikings, I don't know who's going to win that division because I'm not totally sure about their schedules, Green Bay and Minnesota, but I think they're both definitely going to get in. So, and it looks like San Fran, nobody's really getting in their way. They kind of have an easier schedule because it's a third place schedule from last year. Yeah. So yeah, it comes down to Seattle and the Rams, and with the Rams easy schedule, I'm going to say that they take it. So that leaves you with the Niners, the Rams, the Saints, the Packers, the Vikings, and I'm telling you, I really do think we still win this division, the NFCs.
Okay, so those are your six in the West. In the NFC, I'm confident in saying the Rams are going to make it. I think the Vikings will definitely make it. They could easily win the division.
Yeah, no, that division's totally up for. I mean, think about it. Green Bay loses tonight and they're tied.
Yeah. And Kirk Cousins has been playing well. I'm not taking them off of the contenders list, honestly. Like, I think they are contenders. I know Cousins has been a serious issue in the past, but he's playing at a very different level this year. So, they have a run game.
If you told me, as a fan of another NFC team, which I am, you get one chance in the playoffs to go up against Kirk Cousins, I do not care what the other 52 players on that team are. I'll take it any day of the week.
That's fine. And
a high pressure situation.
I agree. But I'm saying until that moment comes, I'm keeping them on the contenders list because he's won on primetime. He's won bigger games this year than he would have in the past. Like, he's not having moments. You know what I mean? So I'm going to leave him on the list of potential contenders for now.
Keeping my mouth shut on Kirk Cousins because I've said enough about him in the past and Applebee's and such. But telling you, one chance in the playoffs, I'm salivating at that.
The Lions – well, we'll get to it Monday mailbag. I'm saving some Mitch talk for the end. I know my Bears fans are waiting. In the AFC – the Patriots are going to be the one seed. Their schedule is such a joke.
It's criminal. Today was the start. I mean, I know the Browns are the Browns, right? Oh my God, the Browns are 2-5. That's crazy.
The Browns are dead.
Yeah, the Browns are dead. I'm sorry. It's starting to get tougher with the Patriots schedule now. I know they have the Ravens next week, then the Eagles. I think they have the Texans at one point, so. It's not all easy. They've got Dallas. So we'll learn a lot about New England in these next few weeks before the season ends. But, yeah, I mean, they're a lock for the one seed.
Yeah. So other teams in the picture, I think that the Colts, Texans big come from behind victory. The Titans, did they lose today or they win?
The Titans won against Jameis Winston.
I mean, they're 4-4. They're like hanging around. And the Jags are hanging around in 4-4. I mean, there's no losing team in that division. There's also not a team that's really convincing me that they're going to win a game in the playoffs. But I can't even tell you who's going to win that division. I'm still holding out a little hope for the Jags when Foles comes back.
I think the Jags are dead for sure. You can throw them in the coffin. I'm going to say that. I mean, I think both of these teams are going to get in regardless, the Colts and the Texans, right? You think a wild card team comes from there? I mean, look how trash the AFC is across the board. I don't think Buffalo is going to hold up. I think it's going to be Buffalo might be also, actually.
No. Buffalo's definitely locked in for the wild card. Just based off sheerly their schedule.
Yeah, and it's got to be the Colts or the Texans in that second spot, whoever doesn't win the division.
Yeah. I mean, the Raiders blew a really good opportunity today. That would have been good. The Broncos also blew an opportunity because if you had three wins at this point, you're only a couple games back. The Steelers, though, we got this question from the Monday mailbag on Flick Chat. Will the Steelers come back, apply pressure on a Baltimore for the division? Steelers' schedule is destined for them, and the Ravens have a brutal schedule now. They play the last game of the season in Baltimore. What are your thoughts? I mean, the Steelers have – they have confidence in Mason Rudolph. They play the Dolphins on Monday night, so that we can assume they're going to be 3-4. Their schedule does get easier. It's kind of a question to me because the Browns have seven games over their their final seven are seven winnable games. They could also come from behind, apply pressure, maybe get to nine wins. But it's the Browns. Like, is it unrealistic to say they're going to go 7-1 over their last eight?
And I'm going to say it, Jack. Congratulations. The Ravens, I don't see a way that Pittsburgh comes back. Even after this week, they play the Colts and the Rams. That could be two L's. If they go 0-2 right there, and the Ravens have what? The Patriots and then a bye?
No, we had our bye. Our schedule really does get tough.
Right.
The Patriots.
I trust the Ravens way more than Mason Rudolph. How about that?
Right. And I mean, a lot could change on when we record next. Well, I guess, are we going to record after the Ravens beat the Patriots? That's it. We'll have to figure that out scheduling wise. But I mean, a lot could change. We could be 5-3 and the Patriots could be 8-0, or we're 6-2. And then if we beat the Patriots, then it's more of like a AFC North is in the bag, because not only will we have a nice lead, but we'll also be like a very good team, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sold. You heard my voice. I'm not that sold on you guys. I mean, I was very impressed with the Seattle win. I know you weren't as much because you don't think Seattle is the truth, but I don't know. Nobody has beaten anybody this year. So, like, when they finally.
But that's my point. If we beat New England, you have to imagine you would think of
solid weeks. It's two back-to-back solid weeks.
Yeah. All right. Based off Seattle. The MVP, everyone's saying Russell Wilson, and I just told you they're not going to make the playoffs. So, obviously, he's not my MVP at the halfway point. I think you guys know who my MVP is, and it's not – I don't believe it's a biased pick, because as we saw today, no disrespect to Christian McCaffrey, he played okay. But this is what happens when you're not the quarterback of the team. You're not the most valuable player. You can't affect a game by just being a running back. They lost 51-13 today. And that blame's going to go on Kyle Allen. So it can't be McCaffrey. I don't think Russell's headed for the playoffs. Other guys, you know, Mahomes is hurt right now. Who's that leave it with? Deshaun Watson, he's been and they're 4-3. They're going to struggle to end the playoffs.
The MVP's playing on Sunday Night Football right now. Aaron Rodgers is the MVP right now, in my opinion. No doubt about
true.
It.
True.
What does he have? Does he have one or two touchdowns tonight now? He's got one touchdown, puts him at 14 touchdowns, two interceptions. So going to be at around probably 2,400 yards by the end of this game. They're 7-1. They're rolling. I think they continue to roll. Aaron Rodgers, for me, thus far, is 100% the MVP. I feel like Aaron Rodgers is on that kind of screw you tour to people that thought, such as yourself, that he was falling off a cliff of sorts. And he's just like here to prove again that he's still Aaron Rodgers and still one of the best in the league, if not the best. So I think Aaron Rodgers keeps this going the entire rest of the way, and he's your MVP. It would have been Mahomes had he not got hurt, but
yeah, I mean, for me, it's not like Lamar did the same thing. He threw five touchdowns against the Dolphins. Rodgers scored six against the Raiders. Like, you kind of pad your stats with that. If you exclude those games, both of them, their stats are less impressive. For me, it's just like Lamar has been an entire offense for them. Like, Aaron Jones has been a contributor. No one else on the Ravens, like, Ingram has scored, but that's because we're scoring from the 2-yard line. He has zero weapons. He's running like he's Ezekiel Elliott, and he's throwing like an above average quarterback. And our defense has been pitiful this year. So for me, Lamar's the MVP, and I think he actually might win it.
How about this? You know what I just thought about? If the NFL was the NBA, Lamar Jackson would be the MVP. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
Because the NBA is way more of a next guy up, who's the next guy that's going to take off in this league and transcend and, like, best player, best team type.
He's like Giannis in the media right now.
Okay, let's relax a little bit with that.
No. I'm saying he's like the young talent that's so exciting to watch that everyone's hyping up. But then that's why Giannis won the MVP, whereas you have Harden, who was just balling out year after year after year, who probably put up more impressive stats, which is Rodgers.
Right. But whereas the NFL truly gives it to the best player every year. Like, they don't factor in the outside noise, whereas the NBA is more of a Hollywood league, if you will. So I'll give you that. If this was the NBA, Lamar Jackson, take home your Kia NBA most valuable.
Do you think, so obviously you think Rodgers won. Do you think Lamar is sitting at two right now, though?
No, I think it's Russell Wilson. Actually.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, they went off head-to-head and Lamar Jackson won. So I guess Lamar, Lamar Jackson in that.
Yeah, I mean, they don't play, like, I think they don't play against each other technically, but you go into Seattle and you beat them, you're the MVP, or at least leading that part of the race. So those are our halfway points. After the break, we will get into the NBA. Humans have been shaving for thousands of years, and the secret to a great shave, it hasn't changed much. The ancient Greeks didn't need flex balls or heated handles, and neither do you. That's why Harry's doesn't overcharge you to add gimmicky features to the razors. They focus on delivering what actually matters, sharp, durable blades at a fair price. I love Harry's because it gives me a close shave, easy glide, low price. Do us a favor and check out harrys.com/bluewire for your free trial today. That's harrys.com/bluewire. And with that, you'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to start shaving better today.
The holiday rush is coming, and if you sell stuff online, you better get ready with ShipStation. With more people buying online than ever before, you have to be able to ship your orders out quickly, efficiently, and affordably. But how do you keep track of all those orders, Jack, or decide which shipping carrier to use, or if you're getting the best rates? Luckily, ShipStation can do all that for you. With just a few clicks, you'll be managing orders, printing labels, and getting those products out the door and delivered in time for the holidays. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. Take the hassle out of holiday shipping this year. Let ShipStation handle it all for you. Just use my offer code BLUE to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free of no-hassle, stress-free holiday shipping. Just visit ShipStation.com, microphone at the top of the page, and type in BLUE. That's ShipStation.com, offer code BLUE. ShipStation.com, make ship happen.
All right, let's just get this over with. The NBA has begun. The Knicks are 0-3, and the Warriors are the worst team in the National Basketball Association. I predicted that they would win the title. It's been three games. They're 0-3.
They are 0-2, actually.
Are you sure?
Yeah. They lost to the Clippers, and now today the Thunder.
Okay. So no reason to hit the panic button quite yet. Except that I don't think they could defend a pick and roll between you and I. So
didn't I tell you that? I told you that.
Yeah, no, you definitely said that. The bench is a serious concern, but it's also not like it's just the D'Lo and Steph that are having issues. It's the big men that are really struggling. When Looney's on the floor, it's like their net rating when Looney was on the floor against the Clippers was a 95, which is pretty good. And when he was off, it was a 140. Like, that's just insane. But the Warriors are in dead? Trouble because are now dead? They're 0-2. Like I dead? Said, I would never react after come two on, games. I would never call a team let's dead have, after oh, two games.
Never, ever would call. I mean, that's different. One's an eighth of the way never. Through the season, and one's a 42nd. I don't know, 41st.
Okay. Right, but the issues are definitely concerning. Steph and D'Angelo haven't even been able to put up points because they're not playing the fourth quarter. Draymond is doing Draymond things, not scoring, but contributing in other ways. They need Willie Cauley-Stein back. They need to kind of get these young guys going. But in reality, they need to play
defense. In reality, all they need is Clay Thompson, and he's not coming anytime soon. So the Browns were dead. The Warriors are dead. Don't you love four-day takes on the NBA season?
Are you going to go and call the Browns? The Browns are dead, but you're going to call the Warriors dead?
Define dead.
Dead, missing the playoffs, and have no chance.
I'm not going to go ahead and... Oh, no chance of winning the title. Yeah, if you want to call that dead, we'll call
it. No chance of making the playoffs.
The jury is still out.
Okay, Thank you. I appreciate you at least giving me another couple of days before we record Wednesday night.
I think they got the Pelicans on Tuesday, so we can talk.
I mean, it is smart to not overreact because look at the Clippers. I crowned them. Huh?
That's why we talk about sports, to overreact. Like,
I know, but look at the Clippers. They win the first two games, and it's like they're winning the title. They're getting Paul George back. They're insane. And then they lose to the Suns. So, and the same thing could be said about Utah. Friday night against the Lakers, they looked horrific, and then they beat the Kings by 30. So it is a very up-and-down league. There is one team I will put the dead stamp on. Yeah, we are so
bad. I was just looking at the schedule. It looks like tomorrow we have Atlanta against Philadelphia. I guess you could say the marquee matchup of the year. I mean, the two undefeated teams in the East.
The 2-0s. The Heat have been a nice surprise. This kid Kendrick
really
Nunn.
Screwing over my Tyler Hero rookie of the year bet.
Yeah, Hero's not even the best rookie on his team. He scored 8 points tonight. Nunn had 25. They lost to the T-Wolves, but they beat the Bucks in OT the night before. Kyrie Irving, you were high on the Nets. I told you, be cautious about a Kyrie Irving-led team, and we are seeing it. I know we don't – I mean, they could be 2-1, but they played three really tight games. Kyrie scored a ton, and they still can't win games. They barely beat the Knicks. They blew a 20-point lead in that game. I mean, yeah,
he's just getting
triple
tween, and he goes all the way to the sixth seed. Like, dude, pass the ball to Karis. Karis had 27 tonight, my most improved prediction. I mean, yeah, Brooklyn's not getting off to a hot start. I mean, I also wasn't huge on the Pacers. They're not getting off to a hot start. But like we said, we're 4 days in, and Andrew Wiggins is day by day making you and I shut up, Jack. Do you see what he did tonight?
I think
he had like the final 12 points to win it for them in a tight game. He was finished with 25, made 4 3-pointers in the final 6 minutes. You still stink, Andrew Wiggins. You hear me?
Towns has been hooping, and then today something happened. He had 17 and a half. He finished with 23. I don't know what's good there. I mean, they're like, if they get D'Lo and get rid of Wiggins, not that the Warriors, imagine Wiggins on the Warriors.
That would just be kind of a scoring Draymond. Just they both stink.
Yeah. The Mavs have been super fun this year, but to what I said in the preseason prediction, they just don't have that third option to push them over the top when they play the best teams. Porzingis goes 31-9-5. Knicks traded him for Dennis Smith Jr. Good trade. Dennis Smith has 7 total points in 3 games. And Luka Doncic 29-12-9. And they lose to the Blazers because their third leading scorer, without looking in the box score, Abe, do you know who it is?
I'm going to go with Max Kleber.
That's correct. 14 points for the Klebs. Hardaway and Curry both had low double digits off the bench, but that's just not going to get it done. You have CJ McCollum, you have Lillard, Rodney Hood, LeBron's best teammate ever. Whiteside only had 6, and they lose at home. So I love the Mavs. They're so fun to watch, but it's just another young team that doesn't have that third piece. If they got Bradley Beal, I think they become like a serious team for the future.
No one's getting Bradley Beal after this extension. Give it up. You keep linking him to every team because Bradley Beal would be like the perfect fit on any NBA team. He's just like your stereotypical NBA player, can like score at all three levels. He's just an absolute beast. But yeah, he's an absolute bucket. That was the word I was looking for. Just sign the extension. Give it up. I know you were linking him to Milwaukee. You were in my ear about this summer.
No. I didn't say Milwaukee. You said I woke up in a hot sweat because I thought of Bradley Beal getting traded to the Bucks.
That was actually in regards to Buddy Hield, but that would be scary.
Oh, that too.
The Bucks stink, by the way. They stink. I watched them play. I'm telling you, the recipe on how to beat Milwaukee is out there in a 7-game series in the playoffs. You just need someone just as big as Giannis. Oh, look, the Sixers have 4 of those players to just rough them up a little. I mean, I'm telling you, he has the ball. He looks to dribble downhill, and everyone on his team just stands there and watches. Nobody moves. I'm telling you, if he's not at his best every single night in the playoffs, they can't win anything. He is just – and that's what's making me believe that, you know what, maybe Giannis will leave. I don't see them having success the way that they play this. And they got significantly worse than last year, losing Brogdon and Mirotic. The Bucks are not dead, but they're not good.
The Bucks are not dead. But can you just repeat that for me? Giannis might be leaving.
I mean, you saw the quote too.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Giannis 2021, baby. Giannis 2021. The only other team that I feel like it's worth having a reaction or overreaction to is the Rockets. Did you catch Friday night game one? I didn't really see much of it. I was out, or Thursday night rather.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
They led big in this game early, and it was just a big fourth quarter comeback from Milwaukee. You know what? Harden wasn't hitting his shots. Like I think he started like 1 of 8 from the field or something. Just kind of those first game jitters. It happens. Not much to overreact from there. Since then, they've won. Russ had a triple double. I think the Rockets are just fine.
This is my favorite stat line of the season. I'm curious if it will hold over the final 80 games. James Harden, 29 points on 8 of 29, 2 of 18 from 3, and 8 turnovers in a W. The Pelicans, they're 0-3. They've played some tough games. It's not that they're bad. They're just, this is what we expected. They just don't have enough to be like a playoff team in the West. Night in and night out. Like what Portland just did, which was go on the road to Dallas, another good young team, and win a close tight game on a Sunday night that, like, you know, those are games you can slip up on. And I just don't think the Pelicans night in, night out, they blew that game against the Raptors. They had a shot against the Rockets. They could have gotten a win, and it's just those losses, they add up, and then they sneak up on you, and I like them. But Zion's not back for – and that math, I checked the math. I was spot on.
Yeah, you were spot on. Spot on that we did the other episode.
That was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, if Zion's on this team, like, who knows what happens in those first three games? Could he have been the difference maker to top off Toronto and do that? I mean – but, yeah, I mean – these you go on these three-game losing streaks over time in the NBA, those losses do add up. Speaking of three-game losing streaks, one team that I'm a little disappointed in so far is Sacramento. I don't know why, but I was just a little excited about them. They lost Bagley, which is really big, but they just can't play a lick of defense, giving up 120 two out of the three games, 113. They can't play defense, but they've got exciting talent in Fox, Hield, and Bogdanovich, but I don't know. I feel like the Kings are underperforming. I feel like they're an untrending team for sure.
Yeah, they were trending coming into the year. They had a really strong year last year. A lot of actually Kings fans, media, and beat writers were actually lower on Sacramento than the rest of the media. They just kind of expected, like, they, you know, when you have a really good season the year before, you expect, or you're hoping at least, that your young stars kind of take that next step. Well, Hield kind of almost got to that level. Fox was, you know, he established himself as a really, really good starting point guard. The next step for them was to be all-stars, really. And I just don't know if at this point in their careers in a loaded West, if that's like a step they could have taken. Bagley could have theoretically taken, but what's his step? Like, you need these monumental steps. And
I feel like the NBA this year, like, aside from your outliers, like the Knicks and, I mean, even the Wizards have what? Two wins, one win. But, like, I feel like there's not that many bad teams in the NBA this year.
Literally every – like, the Cavs have been competitive. I told you, like, OKC would be competitive. The Hornets have somewhat been competitive. They'll fall apart. But, yeah, you're right. The like, even the Thunder are decent. It's really just the Grizzlies are decent. Not decent, but they have good young talent. It's really just the Knicks who are holding down the bottom.
Yeah, I mean – the Knicks are just atrocious. Up and just like that, we got 4-1 in the Astros Nationals. Juan Soto, another home run this postseason.
Yeah, speaking of three-game losing streaks, if the Nats don't come back right now, bottom seven, down 4-1, they'll be 3-2, headed back to Houston. I mean, blowing all three in Washington is really tough. Scherzer skipped today. It seems like if it went seven, he's out.
How do you think Scherzer, like, neck and back is that he can't throw in a World Series game?
It's really messed up because they tried to inject him and get rid of all of it. And, like, he's a psychopath and he would have pitched if he had the chance to. And he just, like, neck is, you know, necks are serious. But, and to that point, I don't think he'll be back for game seven because you just, if you can't pitch tonight, a few days doesn't seem like it's going to do the trick. But, you know, Verlander hasn't won a World Series game yet.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you don't think that Scherzer will be ready for game seven? I think that changes. I don't think there will be a game seven. I think Verlander, I think the Nats, knock on wood, because I threw a little money on them, close this out by 2 runs, please. Please, please, please.
The Astros.
Oh, yeah, the Astros. Shoot. Reverse knock. Charlie, cut that out. but, yeah, I think Verlander gets it done. I think the Astros rally off 4 straight and close this thing out.
I think it's sneaky on Tuesday. Strasburg has been lights out, and Verlander has been, you know, iffy. Maybe the Nats tonight, they get the bats going a little. They're not going to come back on Cole, I don't think, with Ozuna out of the pen. But maybe they gain some confidence, kind of turn it around. They play off mojo, right? And I think with their guy on the mound on Tuesday, knowing they had success off JV, I think potentially they could win that game and then force a game seven. And then that's where it gets interesting. Because Zach Greinke pitching in a game seven.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think that'll be what? So game seven will be, I think there's a day of travel.
Wednesday night. Yeah.
You got Cole out of the pen for that if you're the Astros. You've got Urquidy. So Greinke has the help he needs. But hey, give it to Greinke. He went on the road and pitched a really good game the other night and got them.
He's pitched great. Yeah, so outside of game four against the Rays, which was the first round, like his Yankees start, he only let up 1 run. Like he actually has been really solid. It's just him in pressure situations. You want Cole or Verlander on the mound and to go to Greinke, and then maybe the Nats throw like a weird version of a bullpen game like that. Sometimes it's not that they're going to outcoach themselves or outmanage themselves, but when you have like balls to the wall and you don't have an ace to throw. This is hypothetical if Scherzer's out, right? You throw Corbin for three, you throw like
Anibal Sanchez. He'll probably start it off and Corbin, I guess.
Exactly.
Like that's what they did the other night. Corbin came in for, I think, an inning and then he threw yesterday. But I mean, it's game seven. Everybody's available. You got to think.
Exactly. But that's my point when it comes to the Astros. You trade for Greinke, and now you have your ace. So, right, you're going to kind of stick with him, even if he's given up 2 or 3 somewhat early runs if he gets out of those jams. If it's the Nats, the second there's a guy on second base and you have another matchup you want to exploit, like you make the change. Yeah, so I think it can get interesting, but you obviously want your ace to eat up a few innings.
Yeah, and good thing the Astros have 3 of them.
It is nice. All right, let's close. We touched on it a little, but we'll just go to the Monday mailbag because we have some NFC North questions that we wanted to get to. We do. What's the NFC North going to look like as the season closes? What do the Lions have to do to make the playoffs? And should the Bears trade Matt Nagy? Nope. Should the Bears trade Mitch Trubisky? Let's start off with Mitch.
My guy.
Our boy Mitch.
Hey, I bet on Mitch Trubisky today. Talk about sweating that one out. Not full game, just first half, so thanks for that, Mitch. But do they trade him? I mean, what, he's got 1 more year on his deal after this year? I don't think you can move on from him just yet. I mean, the guy won you 13 games last year. I think that's the reason that they won't. Now, should he? Should they? He's really awful, so you got to think. You let him play it out. You see if the defense can carry you. Maybe you add a weapon to work with him. But I think Matt,
he has weapons. Allen Robinson's a really good wide receiver. Tariq Cohen is a dynamic running back.
The problem as Mitch Trubisky.
Right.
So one of them's got to go eventually. Maybe you get rid of Mitch and then you suck for 1 or 2 years really bad and then you get a good draft pick. But the thing is, if you sell on Mitch, you're going to have to draft a quarterback, which is going to set you back enough, and you already have that amazing defense that only comes around once in a while. So if you trade Mitch, then you have to blow it up, and you just shipped house for Khalil Mack, and that defense is unbelievable. So I think you got to go with Mitch and try and build the best team around him while you still have this elite defense.
Right. You built a system last year, maybe because there's film and tape on it, it's not working as smoothly this year, but you built something that got them wins last year, right? And they have a defense that's playing it really.
Something worked.
The question is, like, first of all, I don't know if it's really trade Mitch away. Like, who would trade for Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you look to a team that probably also has a good defense that doesn't have the quarterback. Maybe a team like the Titans, because they're going to move on from Mariota. Just say, let's take a flyer.
If you're a Titans fan, listen to this and you hear Abe say, take trade for Mitch Trubisky to replace Marcus. No, I'm saying, but think about that. Like, there's actually not a team in the NFL who's going to give up anything for Mitch Trubisky. And I think the questions of who could they trade for to bring in-house, there's obviously two names. It's Cam Newton, but the Panthers aren't going to trade him because Cam's going to start next week when he's all of a sudden healthy, because clearly it wasn't Kyle Allen doing these things. He just wasn't making mistakes. He's not better than Cam. And then the other option is Teddy Bridgewater. One, I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to say, no, I don't want to go to Chicago because I want to be on the Super Bowl run. Brees could be on his way out after this year. Then he gets his chance in a really awesome situation. And then two, for the Bears, like, it's an upgrade, but is Teddy B, like, can he turn their season around enough to really take them to the playoffs? And then you have to deal with benching Mitch. That's your number two pick. It's just very complicated.
At this point, a little unrealistic. It's fun to talk about because of how bad Mitch is, and that helps the brand. But I think at this point, it's a little unrealistic.
Ugh, we got trolled so hard by Bears fans. But, man, let me tell you, Mitch.
It was just that one game. I know. It was just that one game.
Joe Flacco, man. I mean, listen.
Oh, shoot. I should probably keep my mouth shut, right? The Eagles play the Bears.
Where's the game?
It's in Philly, but, like, it's still.
Yeah. Nah, you should be fine. Joe Flacco, like, I just feel bad.
Go off. Yo, Joe Flacco, go off, queen. Like, he ripped into Vic Fangio today.
He did. And he's right, but he's also, like, it's just they've now lost on 3 field goals in the final 2 minutes of the game, 2 on walk-offs. Like, they could legitimately be 5-2. And
Emmanuel Sanders would probably still be on the team.
Right, and you see teams doing this, and they play conservative. They play not to lose. And I've learned so many times what happens when you play not to lose a football game. You lose the game. You have to stay aggressive. You can't change your strategy. So I think that's the biggest lesson. That's where you see, like, it's really these teams that stay in the playoffs year after year. It's coaching or a quarterback. And sometimes it's not even the quarterback. It's really just the elite of the elite coaches. They just win year after year because they know how to make the right decisions. You see a coach like Matt Nagy today. Do you see the end of the first half, right? They have 25 seconds from the one. How many plays do they get off? They get off 2 plays because they throw a ball. They throw like a slant or a fade that was horrible. They run it for 0 yards and they have 20 seconds left and they can't figure out what to do. So they spike it with 1 second left instead of getting another shot in the end zone that would have been the difference in the game. So it's these coaches that are so bad. Adam Gase, he's a joke. And then you have McVay who's dealing with Jared Goff, who we think isn't that good, yet he just churns out wins. So it comes down to coaching, which is why, referencing back to the question about can the Steelers compete? Yes, they can make a run because Tomlin's a good coach, whereas the Browns, even though their schedule's good over the final half of the season, but Freddie Kitchens, like, he's such a bad coach.
Yeah, he was it was like he was looking in his pocket today for a third challenge in the fourth quarter. He used one on a pass interference and another in the first, like, 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, so are you still on the boat that Doug's a good coach?
Doug Peterson. I mean, the guy won a Super Bowl. You can't call him a bad coach.
I'm saying there's elite, then there's good, then there's bad.
A lot of people will be very very biased about the Eagles and Doug Peterson, me included to an extent, but they pissed me off so much in that Dallas game that I've come down to earth about them. And I'll be honest, Doug Peterson in that 2017 run and even the playoff run last year would just make my mouth drop. Like, wow, what a genius for calling that. And I'm not getting it this year. He didn't call a great game today. He called a good second half. But the Eagles, we've seen it time and time again. Their record is unbelievable when, I don't know what it is exactly, I didn't want to make something up, when they have a lead at halftime. So if Doug can get this team to come out of the gate hot, then we're a whole different team. But, I mean, Doug Peterson has a Super Bowl, so I'm going to go ahead and call him a pretty good coach in this league.
Yeah, he's a good coach. All right, big, exciting.
Would you call Harbaugh a good coach?
Yeah, I would, but I wouldn't put him up in the elite category because I've seen him do things. And I will say he's kind of changed over the past year. That's giving me more confidence. He's more aggressive.
Everybody has to. You have to change now. The way the NFL is, the way it's like how much you see people going for on fourth down.
Right.
Going,
but there's still those coaches who are playing soft, right? Like Cliff Kingsbury, you thought he would be an aggressive guy going for it, and he did today on his own 30. Yet in week two against the Ravens, he kicks a field goal from the 5-yard line 3 times. And the numbers just say you can't do that. So I like how Harbaugh's adjusted. We've had a winning record every year except when Joe got hurt, pretty much. I think he's not the elite like a Belichick is. Obviously, no one's a Belichick. But I would say he's definitely a coach I trust. He's a player's coach, which is important. He's never lost a locker room, which is good. Yeah, he's a good coach.
I wouldn't say he's a bad coach, so I'll let you go with that one.
But like I was saying, really big week coming up. I'm going to Jacksonville on Saturday, Florida versus Georgia. The SEC
of experiences.
A lot of snapback experiences. I went Nets Friday, Knicks, Celtics Saturday, Jacksonville for that, and then obviously Sunday night in Baltimore. But we'll get to that on Thursday.
I'm sure we will.
Episode 39 of the Snapback Sports Pod. I'm throwing out Steven Jackson. I've been saving that one. I was excited for him. Great player. Who else?
We got some 39. That's a pretty bad number, honestly. Jeremy.
I said we're at
Grant,
the point.
You know Jeremy Grant on the Nuggets? Of course you know Jeremy.
He wears 39 now?
He did when he was on the Sixers.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's really all I got. I'll go Jeremy Grant with the Sixers. Is Patrick Ewing? All
right, Jim. 39?
No. 33?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
There's probably some corners out there, but one last thing. The People's Parlay lost by a point today. We're really close. We're due.
Right there. Guys,
we're due.
Stay with us.
Next
stay
Thursday.
With us. We're right there.
Oh, my God. We're due. And then giveaways galore.
We're going to be so – well, you guys are going to be so rich.
All right, fam. We will catch you on Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
I didn't talk about the Sixers once on this episode. How about that? Peace, fam.